Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Hi, I'm Freddie Coleman, along in for Max and Keyshawn, J. Will.
Attaboy. Although I don't talk that proper, but I thank you anyway here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max with Keyshawn Johnson, Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. He is still on one today as you catch us on ESPN Radio as well as the ESPN app. And don't forget the smart speaker. Smart like Keyshawn, just say play ESPN Radio. So what kind of New York Giants team are Giants fans in the NFL going to see in 2022? Let's bring in Jordan Renan. Does a great job, part of ESPN NFL Nation, as a New York Giants reporter. Hit him on Twitter, at Jordan Renan. Jordan, I put it out there as that question. Before we get to everything else with the preseason over, when we say about the G-Men 2022, what's the first thought that comes to your mind?
It's an evaluation year for the new regime. Like, that's where we're at, right? If you look at all the players on the team, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay, even Blake Martinez, Leonard Williams, all these guys are either in the last year of their deal or are in a spot with their contract where, you know, the Giants can move on from them after this year. So you have a new regime, right? And they're going to sit there and they're going to evaluate everybody this year and decide, based on their performance this season, who they want to move forward with.
Who stays and who goes based on what you've seen thus far? If you had to predict and forecast, who do you think stays and goes?
I think the best shot of staying, the best of summer, is probably Saquon. Now, I don't know. Signing a running back to a deal is always a tricky thing, but he looks like he's back to being, you know, healthy, explosive player. Now, does that mean he's going to be Saquon from his rookie year? I don't know. I don't know how realistic that is, that you know, after 3 years of being injury filled, you come back and you're in your prime, especially at that position. But he looks pretty good. And he, be honest, you go to a Giant practice or a scrimmage or whatever, I mean, everyone's wearing 26 jerseys. Like, after practice, who does everybody want to talk to? He's the face of the team, for better or worse. I mean, that's the way it is right now. And that's in part because they don't have that star quarterback. But I would put him near the top of the list. I mean, Daniel Jones has to have a huge year. Sterling Shepard has to have a big year coming off. I mean, I don't know who else I really want to bet on. I guess Blake Martinez doesn't look like he's like the, you know, the favorite of the new regime and the new scheme. So after Saquon Barkley, I have a tough time coming up with other guys. I mean, Leonard Williams is a guy I think you want to have on your team. So even though his money is humongous, I think his cap is $27 million next year. That seems like a guy you'd want to move forward with, so he'd be next on my list. But Kenny Galladay, huge question marks. I mean, if you watch him move and watch him run, man, if he was never super explosive, it looks like he might have lost a step the last couple of years. It's hard. I mean, 51 snaps in the preseason, one catch for 6 yards on 4 targets, and the thing is, like, the preseason, who cares, right? I mean, it doesn't matter. But when it's an extension of everything you see on the field in practice every day, it makes you scratch your head and wonder, you know, can he really turn it on for the regular season? I have my doubts.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to go with you. Kenny Galladay, who signed last year, 4 years, $72 million. Signing bonus, $17 million guaranteed. Total guaranteed money is $40 million. But when you look at Brian Daboll and you look at his scheme, Kenny Galladay really doesn't fit that. And he's not the guy that brought him in. And I go back to last year, and he was plagued by some injuries. But you signed that big deal, and you didn't have one touchdown catch in an entire season last year. And then you come into this year, and I'm hearing things from you like he hasn't been running well. Well, when I did my evaluations of a guy like Kenny Galladay, he's never going to be that route-running guy. He is a jump ball wide receiver in my eyes. And I wonder, are the Giants at some point going to move on from him before he even completes most of his deal?
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to get to the end of his deal. But this year, I mean, they already basically have to pay him or paid him $17.5 million. They got another $4.5 million they're on the hook for next year already with him. He would have to play at a really high level this year, something we haven't seen from him now in what, since 2019, right? So the odds, I would say, are against it happening. I mean, maybe he all of a sudden turns on. Here's the thing with Kenny Galladay. So last year, He hurts his hamstring in training camp. He misses almost the whole – he misses pretty much the whole summer, right? So week one comes around. You could tell he's still – he's not running well. You know, he's banged – he was just banged up. He was out for a while. He finally starts to get healthy. I think it was around week four. So he has a good game in New Orleans, right? He looks like he's getting healthier. And then, like, I think it was the next week in Dallas, he hurts his knee. And so he never came back in the same – and then he sat out the spring and wore a red jersey with some sort of leg injury. And maybe he's, you know, it'll take him a little while to get back. But, I mean, I don't know. Health-wise and just explosion-wise, I know you say he never was this great route runner when you looked at him. But if you have that and then you lose a little bit of your explosiveness when you're not overly explosive anyway, how do you make up for it? Or can you guys tell me, you guys are the wide receivers, can you make up for it?
Well, we got to ask Keyshawn that because he built like Key. He big, tall, like long, yeah. Big, like tall you. Guy.
Except
don't take it personally.
He was a lot stronger. He was a little bit stronger than
him. He's stronger than
Key.
Yes.
Him is due.
But I'm just saying, Key, like body type wise.
Don't do that.
I'm just saying, Key, just listen to me.
No.
Don't take it personal. Just listen to me. I'm talking about body type wise. He's a bigger body receiver. So if he isn't explosive or whatnot, how does he make up for that being a bigger body wide receiver?
I can't help him. Jordan Renaud, ESPN New York Jets. I mean, New York Giants reporter joining us.
Not overly optimistic right there.
Not optimistic at all.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Yeah, Jordan, I can't help him. I can't help him at all. I understand he's tall, he's long. Yeah, I get it. He catches 50-50 balls, but I can't help him. If he don't know how to play by now, nothing I can do for him. Speaking of playing, what's the latest with Tyrod Taylor and his back injury?
Yeah, he got banged up yesterday in the preseason finale. Got hit really hard, and you know, but he did jog off the field. And I know he went into the locker room. He took the card in. He came back in the second half though and stood on the sideline. So everything I was told is he's going to be okay. It's not a long term injury. And if you have a back injury, think about it. You're not going to come stand on the sideline for the whole second half if you have a serious back injury or if it's something that, you know, it's really going to cost you a lot of time. So I think the fact that he was back out on the field is a good sign. And, you know, he should be ready to go pretty soon, I think.
When will Kayvon Thibodeau be ready to go? What's the latest on him?
Yeah, that's an interesting one because if you think about it, okay, so they gave him a 3 to 4 week timeline and say he's kind of on that right now, right? But that was exactly 3 weeks from the start of the season when he got injured. So you're talking about the fifth overall pick, right? And to kind of rush him back, okay, get back exactly on the 3 week mark for week one, that seems to me a little on the short-sighted side, right, when you're talking about a guy who obviously this franchise is heavily invested in. He looked really good for most of the summer. So I think the likelihood, I mean, we'll see. We haven't seen him back, you know, working at all outside since he got injured. So to me it seems kind of unlikely that we're going to see him week one, and it would be smart, right? Why you have to think – much more big picture with this guy. Like this guy, if he plays the final 15 games and has to miss the first two games of his rookie season, you're fine with that, right? Like you have to, you want this guy to play for you for 5, 10, 12 years. So to worry about, okay, we need to get him back for the first game seems silly and something that the Giants are probably not going to do in this case. They'll take their time. You might see him at some point early in the season, you know. Week two, week three, to me, that seems more realistic than, all right, get him back exactly on the three-week mark from a sprained MCL and be ready for week one.
Real quick, you use the term big picture when it comes to not just Saquon Barkley but Daniel Jones. But big picture, mm-hmm. What have you seen from Brian Daboll? Because essentially you're saying that this is going to be a gap year for the New York Giants before they can really get this thing going in the right direction.
I mean, you see an offense that's functioning, right? That you could tell even in the preseason. Like they were always able to move the ball and look effective, right? Complete passes, get the ball moving, get the ball out quickly, get the ball into their playmakers' hands. A lot of motion, a lot of interchangeable parts. I think that's why what Harry said is they didn't view Galladay as the perfect piece because they like those Kadarius Toney types, those Sterling Shepard types, Wandale Robinson, guys that you could interchange, move in and out. You'll see them in the backfield. I think that's what you see from Brian Daboll. That should give Giants fans the most confidence. Is this is going to be an offense that's at least semi-successful, watchable, which they haven't had in the last. The Giants averaged 15.2 points per game last year. Oof. In the NFL. Oof. In 2022. You know, that's almost 10 points below the league average. That's how bad it was. So Oof. I think we're going to see a much more successful, functioning offense under Brian Daboll.
Well, that's what happens. You try to run a wishbone inside your five-yard line and think that that's going to work. So anything's going to look better by comparison in 2022.
Can't help him, Jordan.
Giants. Yeah, and right, yeah, Jordan. Keyshawn can't
that's
help
not
Galladay.
Good.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Yeah, Keith. And Jordan's not trying to help. He just all he's doing is being the New York Giants reporter for ESPN. He does a great job of that. Hit him on Twitter, Jordan Renaud. Jordan Renaud joining us here in Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Always appreciate you, Jordan. Thanks so much, my man.
You got it, guys. Have a great show.
With Keyshawn Johnson, Harry Douglas, and Freddie Coleman. Oh, Lord. And Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. So bundle and save at Progressive.com. You can also join the Dr. Pepper call-in line at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And in case you missed it last night, the NFL Network revealed their top 10 players, part of the top 100 players of 2022 countdown based on what they did last year. I'm going to go from number 10 to number 1, and then Key and Harry will just take over from there, and it's going to be glorious, whatever they have to say. Travis Kelce, tight end of the Chiefs, was number 10. Jalen Ramsey, cornerback of the Rams, number 9. Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs quarterback, number 8. Devontae Adams, wide receiver of the Raiders, number 7. T.J. Watt, linebacker pass rusher of the Steelers, at number 6. Jonathan Taylor, running back of the Colts, at number 5. Cooper Kupp, wide receiver of the Rams, at number 4. Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Packers, at number 3. Aaron Donald, defensive tackle of the Rams, at number 2. And Tom Brady, named number 1 in the players' countdown, quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I'll start off with a guy like Patrick Mahomes. I just don't think he should be 8. Now, the two guys that's ahead of him in Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp, both of those guys had phenomenal years. Cooper Kupp had 145 receptions, over 1,900 yards, 16 touchdowns, won a Triple Crown, won Super Bowl MVP, won a Super Bowl as well. But when you look at it from a consistency standpoint, I think a guy like Patrick Mahomes has just been doing it longer. And I understand this is based on 2021, but I just can't let my eyes do that. I just can't. And then Jonathan Taylor rushed for over 1,800 yards last year, was phenomenal, and really put the Indianapolis Colts on his back. But when I look at a guy like Tom Brady, who's been consistent, now you could easily put Aaron Donald at 1. I think Aaron Donald's the best player in the National Football League. But Tom Brady, at his age, threw for over 5,000 yards and led the lead in that, and then led the lead in touchdowns as well. Aaron Donald, we know the force that he's been. Aaron Rodgers, back-to-back MVP. When I look at, a T.J. Watt, who last year had 22.5 sacks and tied a record with Michael Strahan, that's something to be said, but he's been consistent. Devontae Adams, no receiver the last 4 years, has been better than Devontae Adams. When you talk about the most receiving yards, receptions, and touchdowns, we all know where he's been. So when you look at Patrick Mahomes, I think the only two guys that you look at on that list and say, you know what, he has to be ahead of. Well, I'll tell you this. He should be no lower than number 4. But if it's two guys on that list that you would question him being ahead of him, it's Cooper Kupp and it's Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, he's in the top 4 players in the National Football League. Aaron Donald, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. Those are the 4. That's the way the list should read. Anybody after that is whatever. I mean, that's just the way that I look at it. When you talk about Patrick Mahomes being at 8, versus a higher number, how did they arrive to that? I have no idea. I don't know what they saw when they made these evaluations and signed up and said, okay, I'm going to pick this guy, 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 I'm going to pick this guy. But when they got to Patrick Mahomes, they were like, well, he doesn't belong in the top 7. I don't see it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of players in the National Football League probably – if you look at their Twitter accounts and all that, they probably are commenting on Patrick Mahomes sitting at 8.
Mm-hmm.
When clearly we all know if you're starting a team, you ain't starting no damn team with Cooper Kupp and no damn Jonathan Taylor over no Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
When you're consistently when you're consistently spectacular, anything that looks less than that, people are going to say, well, he didn't have that great of a year. Because, Harry, you made the point about mentioning Patrick Mahomes' numbers.
Yeah.
For any other quarterback in the National Football League, not name him or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, that's an MVP season. If Justin Herbert has that kind of season this year and the Chargers win their division, we're talking about him being an MVP. If you have another guy along the lines of Joe Burrow, he has those kind of numbers for the Cincinnati Bengals, and they win their division again, you're talking about him for MVP. Yep. Patrick Mahomes has that kind of year last year, and it was like, meh. He took a step back. For anybody else, when you're that consistently spectacular, anything less than spectacular, people are going to say that you didn't have the kind of year that people thought you should have had.
They're saying he was broken.
But here's the head-scratching part about it, because I want the listeners to understand, like, his numbers. Mm-hmm. The man completed over 66% of his passes. He threw for over 4,800 yards, 37 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions. He was fourth in the National Football League in passing. And people considered that a down year for Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. If you compare numbers, which a lot of people like to do when they're looking at statistics for whatever reason, if Tom Brady is a 9 statistical category,
right,
last season, Patrick Mahomes is an 8.5.
Yeah.
His numbers is right there.
Mm-hmm.
A point yep. here, a point there, a tick there, a tick. Same yep. numbers as Tom Brady.
Yep.
Tom Brady threw for 300 more yards than Patrick Mahomes. Yay! He threw seven
six
more touchdowns.
More touchdowns.
Six more touchdowns.
Crazy.
Yay! I mean, like, it's not like he threw 55 touchdowns and Patrick Mahomes only threw 30.
Right.
Yeah,
that's why I said Patrick Mahomes is Steph Curry, because Steph Curry, for the longest time, when he really got to be Steph Curry, it seemed like there was this blowback.
Kind of look alike.
Well, I'm leaving that out of the melanin conversation, leaving that alone, just moving right away from that as far as that goes. But when you're spectacular like that, Steph Curry's getting blowback, not just from people on social media who wanted to, he's not as good as that guy, you guys are overrating him. And he, now I don't want to say he suffered, that's a bad word, but he really was getting that kind of response. But then he wins the championship again, his fourth one, and people stopped doing that. All of a sudden, that love fest returned. Patrick Mahomes gets back to winning the Super Bowl, and he wins another one because he's been in two already. I wonder how much of that blowback won't be there as much. Not so much from NFL players. I don't think they do that compared to NBA players. But it seems there's a lot, key to what you mentioned, that maybe a little bit of resentment from guys out there saying, yeah, he's not as good, and those numbers prove it, even though those numbers were still spectacular for Patrick Mahomes last year.
Absolutely.
Well, Freddie, I got to say this, because I'm up here looking at this list.
Uh-huh.
You have three players from one team, the Rams, on this top 10 list.
Yep.
And then you have two from the Chiefs in Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. But mm-hmm. for the Rams, you have Jalen Ramsey, you have Cooper Kupp, and you have Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the Rams, I like that.
Well, that's why I still believe the Rams and the NFC, they're the team to beat. And I know anything can happen in regular season. The NFL is a second-by-second league. I get it. But the biggest question for the Rams was Matthew Stafford's elbow. We haven't heard anything about that in the last couple of weeks. And that's because other things are taking center stage. Cowboys and their problems with the offensive line. Buccaneers, their problems with the offensive line. The Jets quarterback situation. The Cleveland Browns with Deshaun Watson. Other things are taking center stage. It's been a perfect training camp outside of that for the Rams, because the road through the NFC still goes through them. Even more so now, guys, especially at the preseason, because compared to the other contenders, they're the healthiest of NFC teams, and they have the least amount of questions of anybody in the NFC going into the regular season.
The New Orleans Saints, baby, they getting ready to wreck shop in the NFC. But the Rams are good. The Bucs might be good, depending on their offensive line. Green Bay, I think, is going to shock a lot of people. You know, the people think, because Devontae Adams is gone, that the passing game is going to suffer.
No.
I think it's actually going to be just like Kansas City's.
Okay.
Better, because you take one player away, now the quarterback has to really work to do his magic. He now has to spread the ball all over the field, just like Patrick Mahomes has to do in Kansas City. Aaron Rodgers is going to have to do in Green Bay. That'll be funny to see. Let's see what San Francisco looks like with their young stud at quarterback. If I'm the 49ers, though, I might be having a small conversation with Jimmy G on taking a reduction in pay, incentivizing him. If you get back on the field for whatever reason and you play this and you do that, you can make some of that money back up, because there's no reason you need to. You need two quarterbacks in this league. Just look at the New York Jets. What they're going through right now with Zach Wilson down, they had to turn to Joe Flacco.
I would say, look at the Carolina Panthers. Let's just say Sam Darnold was the guy.
Or
and then
Carolina.
Next thing you know, he got hurt. Luckily, they had Baker Mayfield there. I know he won a starting job, but In this league, like you just said, Key, you have to have two quarterbacks, because if one of your guys go down and then the team is depleted because the one guy went down and you don't have a guy that can keep things afloat or even give you an opportunity to compete, you're done.
That's why the Carolina Panthers, you heard rumors that they may be calling in Cam Newton to have him come back to that team. Especially Sam Darnold out with a high ankle sprain that's going to knock him out for 4 to 6 weeks, maybe even longer, in the first part of that NFL season. Like I mentioned, always weigh in by joining the conversation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, with Keyshawn Johnson, Harry Douglas, and Freddie Coleman at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And boy, we talk about quarterbacks. The scrutiny surrounding this quarterback going into the season is going to be out of control.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
A special shout out to one of the great athletes to ever come out of Los Angeles, LA's own native son, Mr. Keyshawn Johnson.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app, tap the More tab on the bottom right, scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So what kind of ride is it going to be with Tyreek Hill playing his first season in Miami? And many people believe it could be Tua Tagovailoa's last season as quarterback with the Dolphins. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max with Keyshawn Johnson, Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Catch us on ESPN Radio. Don't forget about us on the ESPN app and listen to KJM on your smart speaker. All you got to do is say play ESPN Radio. I don't think there's any doubt that if Dak Prescott is the most scrutinized quarterback in the NFL going into the season, guys, that Tua Tagovailoa Key is right behind him, because people are wondering, with Jalen Waddle, you bring in Tyreek Hill, there's some speed demons. Is Tua enough of a quarterback to get those guys the football in the right position to make big plays for an offense that was devoid of that the last really 5 to 10 years?
So you think Tua, you think Dak Prescott is the most scrutinized quarterback in the NFL, and Tua's right behind him?
Yes. Yes. See, because Dak plays for Dallas and the Cowboys playing for Jerry Jones. That's why.
I think Dak Prescott is scrutinized some, but I think the most going into this season.
Okay.
I think it'll be Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott.
Okay.
Tua won't be on my list because
You're not counting Deshaun Watson, because that's just a whole different category,
no,
right?
No, I didn't even – yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking at where people move the goalposts on Lamar every year.
Right.
He didn't do this, he didn't do that. He didn't do this, he did that. But he didn't do this, and now they get more money, blah, 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 blah. So I look at it from that standpoint. Then I look at the situation like a Dak Prescott, because he plays for the Cowboys. You know, it's like no matter who the quarterback is, people are going to always hate on the Cowboys more so than the quarterback.
Sure.
It's the Cowboys. It's Jerry Jones. Lamar Jackson's a little interesting. And then when you talk about a guy like Tua, he kind of – not going to be scrutinized, because you're not really – I don't think people is expecting anything out of him. I don't think people are really going into it looking and saying he's getting ready to light it up. I think people have this reservation about what he is as a quarterback because they have tried to replace him on numerous occasions, whether it was the real Tom Brady or the fake Tom Brady, whether it was Deshaun, oh, well, we're going to try, but we're not going to try. Okay, now who's next? Oh, well, maybe Teddy Bridgewater comes in and pushes him, and if he slips, we put Teddy in that spot. Because Teddy ain't – I don't know Teddy to ever be a backup from the beginning of the season to the end. Every team he's ever been on, he's played. Think about it. In New Orleans, he played because Drew Brees got hurt. You know, he go to Denver, he took the job, he played. Carolina, they signed him, he played. So I don't know if Tua's going into this season as the most scrutinized guy. I think it's going to be Lamar.
Well, I've got a list of guys who I think will be scrutinized, are scrutinized going into this season. Okay. And not no particular order, but I have Carson Wentz. I have Kyler Murray, based off things that they haven't been able to do offensively late in the season the last 2 years.
And that I have
Derek Carr, who hasn't had a playoff win and now has the best receiver in football on his team. I have Dak Prescott. I have Tua. I have Baker Mayfield. And I have Daniel Jones. I have all those guys on that list.
Who's number one on your list, though?
And for me, it's Tua. It is Tua. We haven't seen Tua's full potential, so I don't even know if it's warranted to put him in that category, but we haven't seen his full potential. But now he actually has players around him. And if he doesn't make it work, then the media are going to tear him apart because you do have people in place now around you to make you better and to make the team better offensively. I would say – yeah, Tua's my number one guy.
Okay.
And then Dak would be second just because of the whole Dallas situation. Like he said, the Jerry Jones, the whatnot. Dak late in the year didn't play up to his capabilities, but we do know he has it in him. So he has to go out there and perform. And a lot is on his shoulders this year. And the questions will lie if Dak isn't able to go out there and perform at a high level and put this team on his back. The question is going to lie, well, is he really that good? And well, we know he's good and we know he's good enough, but he has so much to unpack this year and so much on his shoulders as well.
Keyshawn Johnson, Harry Douglas, Freddie Coleman, part of Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio. We mentioned Tua Tagovailoa, and yeah, a lot of people talking about, will he be able to make this work? Now that Tyreek Hill's a member of the Miami Dolphins leaving the Kansas City Chiefs, even Tyreek Hill said, he felt the Chiefs treated him like trash on the sidewalk. That's why he decided to go to Miami. Never mind the fact that money was out there that was going to be there for Miami and now with Kansas City, but I digress. Tua Tagovailoa talk about the chemistry that these two are developing to try to make this work down in Miami.
It was good. We had to decide with plays what openers we wanted to go with. So knowing that Tyreek was playing, he wanted to go ball. We gave him a shot. The throw wasn't to my liking. That whole spiel, if it was a better ball, if it was, you know, probably more in front of Tyreek, we could have scored on the first play, probably.
Even when he does something right, even Tua knows what people are seeing and hearing and saying about him. And to me, Key and Harry, that's the worst thing you can have happen to him, that he's paying attention to outside yes. noise when he's trying to make this work down in Miami.
Well as long as he's strong mentally, the outside noise, it won't matter. That, you know, if you're strong mentally, it's a shield around you. It's going to bounce right off. I mean, we all as players, I love the oh, I don't listen to this, I don't hear, I don't know. No, you're lying.
Yep.
You're lying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody that plays professional sports, you hear what people are saying about you, even if you don't want to hear it. So if he can handle it, that's all that matters.
And I would even say in the post-game interview, like, you know you got to probably get a better ball or whatnot. But that don't, every time you feel like it, that don't mean you got to go in the media and say it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Like
I understand you want to be your you want to view yourself in a certain light and you want to hold yourself to a certain standard, but don't mean you have to express it to everyone, especially in the media every time. But I do love the chemistry between these two players since spring and now in training camp. And I love Tua saying that, hey, we decided we're going to go with the first play. Tyreek wanted this. We're going to go with this. And him believing in Tyreek and Tyreek believing in him to get it done because, listen, he was double covered. Just ran past the safety. When he let the football go, they were even. But he believed in this guy. And I love the fact that Mike McDaniel even allowed these two to have this discussion to decide what they wanted to go with the first play.
The one thing that Tua better recognize when you have these kind of weapons, he's got to get better. And you guys can tell me I'm right or wrong on this. He's got to get better at those anticipation throws or throwing guys open. Like, to your point, Harry, we're double coverage. And I know it's preseason. I never lose my mind about preseason action. If somebody's playing well or not playing well, it's when the regular season rolls around and the game planning and dealing with that and making adjustments throughout the game. Then you figure out coaches and players. But in the National Football League, you guys know this, when windows get really, really small or you know if a guy has to be at a certain point, you got to make those anticipation throws. And I wonder how much of that is really a concern when you have a guy like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. They're going to get to their spots, and the ball's got to be there. And can Tua, Key, and Harry make those consistent anticipation throws where they can get the ball and keep going and have to stop and reach back for it, and then the play stops right there?
Well, I think that's one of his strengths is being able to anticipate because he has to get the ball out fast. He doesn't have time to sit there, pat it, put it to sleep, hold it. He's got to get it out quick. And I think when you talk about these two speed demons, a lot of their stuff is going to be intermediate things, things that are on the go. Tyreek Hill, you're not going to see Tyreek Hill breaking down defenses, running 18-yard comebacks, things, the timing stuff. You're going to see Tyreek Hill, everything's going to always be on the move. He's going to be on the move, shallow crosses, deep crosses, Apache routes, deep posts, things of that nature, because that is how first of all, that's how his game is built. And that's how you get the most out of him. If you want him to run the traditional route tree as a receiver, you're not going to get the most out of – you're not going to get the bang for your buck at all.
So how dangerous can that pairing be in Miami? We'll see with Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill because a lot of people are wondering if that's actually going to work. Meanwhile, in Cleveland, Jacoby Brissett had an up-and-down preseason debut. Keyshawn's not worried, but should the Browns be? That's next on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max with Keyshawn Johnson, Harry Douglas, Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio, and tune into us on the ESPN app. This show is produced by Shannon Penn, who's got a little bit of a beef, not with Key, not with Harry, not with Freddie. He has a beef with the first day of school.
Yeah. Like this is a little beef. So kids around the country are going back to school. For a lot of kids, today's the first day of school, right? So naturally on social media, you'll see a bunch of posts about first day of school outfits or whatever, right?
Right.
So I looked on my social media. I see my kids under the Instagram post with their pictures or whatever, right? Knowing that my wife took the pictures, right? My problem, my gripe, and guys, tell me if I'm wrong because you're all fathers here. Am I wrong or feeling some type of way that my wife didn't send me, like, exclusive first day of school pics from the kids before she started posting them so that everybody has them? I wanted the exclusive. I'm here working in the morning now. I wanted some pictures that everybody else didn't get. Am I wrong for that, Freddie?
No, not at all. You know what? But you've got to realize where you are in the totem pole in your house. You're definitely number four. And if you have pets, you're below them. You know how that goes, Shannon.
Listen, don't listen to him, Shannon. Damn that. You number one. You the king of the castle. Mm-hmm. Your wife need to send you the pictures. Because sure. My wife would have heard it from me.
Oh, Shannon's wife may hear it from him. That it may not end well for Shannon.
Look, Key, I texted her. I was like, no exclusive pics. So then she ends up sending me like 8 pictures that were already posted. That's not what I want. That's not the new. Yeah. Like, how am I then going to go and post those same pictures that are up on both of their Instagram accounts? And I'm sure they're on her Facebook account by now. Like, what is that? What am I getting?
Santa sound like a hurt dad, right?
I am a hurt dad. Look, I'm the one out here paying for these sneakers. Like, I want to see the fresh. I want to see the highlights.
Yeah. You guys are a team. That's, you know. You guys are a team. Let's just stay a team here, Shannon. You guys you're working. She's dropping off the kids.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get your pictures. It's no different. All you're going to do is delete the damn pictures when she sent them to you anyway. It ain't like you getting ready to send them to the local Photoshop and get something blown up and put on your wall.
I wanted to post my first day fresh, you know, outfit for the kids. Yeah, you know, something different, something new.
How you going to post something? How you going to post something and you're not the one taking them?
It doesn't matter.
What does that mean? That don't mean anything.
Right.
No, it means something. Because if mama posts, you repost the same picture.
You want to know why I'm saying no? It's because I've been the person that took the pictures and posted first, and my wife felt some type of way about it. So, no, it can't work like that.
Guys, we're all married here. For any married man out there, I'm just going to give you these words. It's different for women. Period. It doesn't matter what you feel or how you feel. If it's against you, you got to deal with it. If it's against her, Nice try, Shannon. Nice try, Harry. But Key knows it like me. It's different for women.
Stand your ground, Shannon.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And welcome to the proud show known as Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max with Keyshawn Johnson, Harry Douglas, Freddie Coleman.
So, I finally got something right, huh? So that brother be driving around in his car in the morning listening to me arguing with himself.
That's true.
I know what goes on.
Yeah,
he be screaming at the radio, cussing me out.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Scrubber knows the deal. He understands it. When he listens to you on ESPN radio, that's why he said, hey, you got it. You always had it, but he just gave you credit, according to him, that you got it.
So, look, man, I've been thinking here for a minute. And when we were kids, especially me and you, Freddie, we would go to the store, right?
Absolutely.
And moms or somebody would say, get lettuce, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we would go get a head of lettuce.
Absolutely, yes.
When did all this other lettuce start to come out, right? Arugula and romaine and just all the different... The lettuce types that are out there. When did all this start? I was sitting here thinking to myself,
right?
Because I know we were talking about collard greens earlier and kale and stuff, and I'm sitting there saying, I used to just get a lettuce and cut it in half and tomatoes and cucumbers and call it a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got all this fancy lettuces. When did that start?
That is a very good question, number one. Number two, we've become a foodie world ever since the early 2000s. When everybody starts talking about healthier foods and stuff like that and saying, watch about the calorie content and this and make sure that was taken care of and all that, right around the early 2000s, to me, that's when that really started to become more and more in view about lettuce is not just lettuce and cabbage is not just cabbage.
I try to figure that out. So you worry about calories when you order your food.
Yeah, and Shannon mentioned it, when people start having shakes no longer just being the fruit variety, where you start making the blender shakes with kale shakes and all stuff like that, that's when it really, really started.
And that's a real California thing there, Key, no? The kale shakes?
Green juice, kale, whatever. we are very health conscious out here to a degree.
You have, you have to all those plastic surgeons running around keeping them in business.
Say, man, watch out.
You notice he didn't say no, Gary. He didn't deny it. He just told me to watch my mouth.
No, I'm just saying, because no, for real. But it's in New York, it's everywhere.
It is everywhere.
Miami, New York, LA, Atlanta, that's the world we live in. People feel like they want to enhance their beauty, which I've never had a problem with enhancing your beauty. I have a problem when you change your look. When you look like Freddie.
Hey.
No, I'm saying when you look like Freddie one day and then all of a sudden you look like something else the next day, that's where it becomes problematic.
Okay.
You know, if all of a sudden I'm going and I'm getting a completely I'm looking way different than I look right now. And I disappear and go out of the country for about 3 months and I come back. And you'd be like, have you guys seen Keyshawn? You know, you'd be like, that's him right there. You'd be like, where? Where? Your nose is much smaller, man. What did you do? You know, and or you go in somebody's house, which I've done. Shame on me. I've gone in and, you know, you go to somebody's house and you're looking around. And you're just there waiting, whatever. And you start looking at pictures on the walls and pictures on the fireplace and stuff. You're like, damn, they used to look like that? And then you look at them now and you're like, they've been under the knife a lot. And you get that here in L.A. You're like, wait a minute, you didn't used to look like that. I mean, it's the truth.
You haven't gone to them and told them to have you. Like, hey, what happened here?
No. They know. Sure. Oh, they Freddie. They know. They can tell by how you look at them, Harry. Am I lying?
No.
They can tell when you look at them. You're like, damn, what did you? Something changed.
Mm-hmm. What's going
on? I know
on
somebody.
Here?
I ain't gonna say no names, but
please don't.
I know somebody. Boy, that thing looked different now, and then it did a year ago. You look at them, you're like, wait a minute, hold on. Now, I know better. You know, you ain't getting ready to tell me it's all squats and running in heels. I know better. That's L.A.
That's L.A. Well, that's also the Cleveland Browns. They look a lot different than last year because Baker Mayfield was the quarterback. And now this year, Deshaun Watson was supposed to be the quarterback, out for the first 11 games, going to pay a lot of money in fines because of his aggressions off the field. The NFL's words, not mine. And Jacoby Brissett, this is his team for the first 11 weeks. Up and down preseason debut over the weekend, he had to say that about this.
Obviously some things to clean up on, but for the most part, I thought we did a good job, you know, getting in and out of huddle, calling the plays. You know, that was my first time really in this setting calling plays. And I thought it went well. You know, obviously just watch the film and get better from it.
Okay, so but this was the first time that Kevin Stefanski was in your ear. What'd you think hearing him in your helmet?
He sounded like he sounded in practice. No, it was good. You know, he was good with communication and in and out of the huddle and giving information when we needed information. And, you know, I thought that part went well.
Here's the deal, Keyshawn and Harry. You guys know this. What people see in preseason isn't the same thing that coaches see. It could be very easy to say, man, Jacoby Brissett is not ready.
Yep.
But we don't know what the coaches see in practice or what they see when they look at film when it comes to taking on the Browns for the first 11, maybe even 12 games this season.
You know, I don't even know, Harry, if I can't remember. I don't think I ever scored a touchdown in the preseason.
Were you trying to?
You know that? I don't think I ever scored a touchdown in the preseason. And I really only ran probably two routes in the preseason.
Okay.
A slant and a hitch. In every preseason, because I didn't play long, and people would say, oh, they look this way, that. Even though we know when the regular season starts, we getting ready to empty out the playbook.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing when you're looking at Jacoby Brissett.
You don't show everything.
No.
And coaches don't want to show everything. That's just like we haven't seen Trey Lance with the 49ers in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure we're going to see it throughout the season.
Yeah.
But there are people who've seen the game or seen the stats with Jacoby Brissett and may have said he played bad. I don't think so at all. The first player of the game, and I'm pretty sure every quarterback in the Browns room feels this way about Anthony Schwartz right now. That they don't want to even throw the ball anywhere near him because he's not going to catch it.
He's really fast.
I've seen him drop literally five balls wide open so far in this preseason.
I saw that in college with that guy.
Yeah. First player of the game was a drop. Though. And you know you want to start the game off right. Get your quarterback confidence, you know, right in his hands on the sideline, boom, drop. But then you had like a third and 12, the first third and 12. Njoku, a guy who they just paid a lot of money to, a tight end. Right. And it's a play we used to run a lot with Tony Gonzalez. We used to call it Cop. We actually got it for Tony Gonzalez when he came over from the Chiefs, right? You push up about 14, 15 yards. You push up like you're going to the corner route. You stop and you come back towards the quarterback. Well, if it's third and 13 or third and 12, you can't run that route at 12 or 13. You got to go about 3 or 4 yards beyond the sticks, which at the route depth. And then he caught it at like 11, so now it's fourth and one, and now the Browns are punting. You got all kind of stuff like that going on. So guys got to step up for him as well. Understand, get your right depth. But I don't think Jacoby Brissett played bad. Then this interception, Anthony Schwartz again on a slant route, runs into the defender, and it gets picked off.
Yeah, I remember Keenan McCardell ran that route out of the bunch formation. Mm-hmm. He ran the corner route and stopped and came and pulled back up. Harry, you in the corner was man-to-man.
Right.
And so when K-Mac pushed up at 15, put their right foot in the ground and shot to the corner, the DB beat him over the top and ran to the back of the end zone. And K-Mac stopped. Dude kept running. And K-Mac caught the ball, turned around, wasn't nobody there. Man, it was so funny. K-Mac caught it and stopped, turned around, was like, where's everybody at? That route is crazy because you run the corner route so much, everybody just run to the corner. They think they're going to cut you off, and you put that foot in the ground and retrace.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
All those things they work on in practice that prying eyes don't see, but they see in preseason, and whether it's Tua, Jacoby, whoever, that's what makes the NFL the NFL. People think they know something, but then they really don't know when it's all said and done.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.